Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Mark's. I'm so glad you could join us this day. A couple of weeks ago, I had a pastor's conference, and one of the big emphasis on that was remembering whose you are, your baptismal identity as a child of God, and how it is that as you remember that identity, it can help you in times of trial, in times of temptation, all these different things. And so I'm emphasizing this as we begin our service, because we'll begin it the same way we always do, in the name of the triune God. So I invite you to stand as we begin our service, remembering whose we are, remembering who it is that we belong to, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And please stay standing for opening prayer. We remember, especially this morning, Pastor Bob and Janine, as they'll be traveling back from the Tulsa area. Bob officiated a wedding, and I was asking around this morning. I'm terribly unprepared. Lisa Grisham's daughter was married, and I couldn't remember whether it was Courtney or Kylie. Does anybody remember? It was Courtney. Thank you, Lynn Shag. Lynn is a knower of all knowledge right there. So Courtney got married yesterday. Excellent. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for inviting us here to worship in your house this morning. We pray that the words that are spoken through the scriptures may touch our hearts deeply, may they affect us, and may the knowledge of our sin and the forgiveness of it through your grace, through mercy, may that change our lives and the way we live each day. Be with Pastor Bob and Janine as they travel back from Courtney's wedding, and thank you for that blessing of marriage. We ask that we support all marriages here in the congregation at St. Mark's. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. And now, let us join in confessing our sins together. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
to reign. Heaven and earth will join to say,
morning. My name is Kevin Shegg. I'm one of the elders here at St. Mark's. The first scripture reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 45, verses 1 through 7. This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take whose right hand I take hold of to subdue nations before him and to strip kings of their armor, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored up in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, of Israel, my chosen, I summon you by name and bestow on you a title of honor, though you do not acknowledge me. For I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, people may know that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. This is the word of the Lord.
The sermon scripture reading this morning from Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 15 to 22. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? You show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose image is this, and whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, so give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away. Thus concludes the sermon scripture reading this morning.
All right, I invite the children forward for a children's message. Well, good morning, boys and girls. Let's try that again. Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Awesome, that's good progress. Let's try it one more time. Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Oh, man, I want my ears to hurt. Come on, good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
There we go. All right, so I have a question for you. I want you to raise your hand if you know the answer to this question. All right. So if it takes about 20 minutes to boil one egg, how long does it take to boil two?
40.
It takes 40 minutes to boil two?
Nice.
Did I lose? Nope, there we go. It actually takes 20 minutes because you toss one egg in boiling water, it takes 20 minutes. If you toss two eggs in the same boiling water, it takes about 20 minutes. Yes, hi. Yep, you're going to sit right here. There we go. All right, I got another question for you. All right, if I had 10 sheep and all but 6 die, how many sheep do I have left?
3.
3, none, 4. Those are good guesses. If I have 10 sheep and all but 6 of them die, I have 6 left because all but 6 die. Oh, yeah. Those are kind of trick questions, is why I'm asking them in an interesting way. And I bring this up because in our sermon reading for today, Jesus was asked a tricky question. All right, so there was these groups of people. Hold on. There was this group of people who came up, and they didn't like Jesus all that much. And they were trying to trap him. All right, and so they asked a question that seems perhaps not like a terrible question. They're like, all right, Jesus, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Now, I know you guys are kids. You might not know about paying taxes. Your parents all have to do it. It's an important thing if you are a citizen to pay taxes because that goes for things like streetlights and roads and, well, maybe not streetlights in Jesus' day, but for various things. Not right now. All right. And so they trapped Jesus because the thing is that the people didn't really like paying this particular tax. And so it was a trap, because if Jesus said, yes, you're supposed to pay taxes to Caesar, then all the people who were following him might have been like, whoa, we don't like this Jesus, and he would lose their favor. But if he said, no, you shouldn't have to pay this tax, they had brought some officials with, and they might arrest Jesus for saying, you know, no, you're not supposed to do this. So Jesus was in a pickle. It's quite the conundrum that he was suddenly in. So what does Jesus do? Well, he tells them a very important truth. He says, okay, well, give me the coin that you're supposed to pay this tax with. And he looks at it and he sees that there's a picture of Caesar on this coin. And he's like, well, his face is on it. Do you think that belongs to Caesar? Okay, yeah, that belongs to Caesar. Okay, then you're supposed to give the things to Caesar that belong to Caesar. But he says an even more profound truth. He says, give to God the things that are God's.
Which would be everything?
Which would be everything, exactly. Thank you. So everything belongs to God. Do you belong to God? Yeah. Are you God's children?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's an important thing to remember.
Even the whole world is his.
Even the whole world is God's. I agree. And so that is the thing that I want to share with you today, mostly, is that Jesus is affirming the thing that are God's, the things that are God's belong to him, and you should give to him that, and that includes us. We are to give ourselves to God because we belong to him. So let's pray. Repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for dying on the cross to save me from my sin. Thank you for claiming me as your child. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you want to go to Little Worship, you can go to the back there. Again, Little Worship is optional. You don't have to go, but go to the lady with the cross. That's the way. All right. So among other things that could be said concerning politics, sorry, I'm going that way today, so just bear with me. I would say, to some degree, it is the competition of authority. What I mean by that is there's kind of a different authorities might be vying and saying, no, we have a right in this situation, we have a right in this situation. Bear with me on that definition. It's not meant to be all exhaustive. And I assure you, I won't go the direction of telling you how to vote today. Don't worry, not going to happen. The point I'm trying to make, though, is that if you look at Jesus' encounter, it was all about kind of a multiple authorities and saying who really is in power here, as there's kind of a bit of an argument there. And so you have Jesus. He's still there in the temple courts. Again, this is after he has done his procession into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey. He's gone in and he's kicked out the money changers. And it all kicked off with the religious leaders saying, Jesus, by what authority are you doing these things? And that was several weeks ago. We talked about that. And there's a couple other parables that Jesus told, really kind of creating a bit of a tension between him and the religious leaders. There was already tension. And he is strengthening that tension because he knows ultimately he is going to be crucified. And that plays into the dynamics at play. And so we have the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle him in his words. And he sent their disciples along with the Herodians. Now, the Herodians is the people who sided with Herod. Now, Herod was a ruler that basically Rome was the big authority. But they allowed Herod, and from Herod the Great had three sons, if I remember correctly. And they were allowed by Rome to rule. They were Jews, but they were kind of like, you know, they were rulers different than a governor, but they were allowed to rule. And so they benefited from Roman authority. From Rome saying, all right, you get to be in charge of this area. They're put there by Rome. And so they were ones who affirmed that the people should pay this tax. And this tax, from what I read, is not just any old tax, but it was particular to these people in that people who were not Roman, but who were under Roman authority are the ones who had to pay this particular tax. So this tax is not just a general, hey, you're a Roman citizen, you got to pay taxes to Rome. But no, this is a, you're not Roman citizen, but we control your territory, so you have to pay this tax. So this is the particular tax that they come and they say, Jesus, teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully. And you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Just really trying to butter Jesus up here, and kind of trying to make him think, oh, yeah, yeah, you guys think I'm awesome. Tell us, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay this particular tax to Caesar or not? And again, this is why it was the case that they thought this is the perfect trap. Because if Jesus says, well, you don't have to pay the tax, then he'd be in trouble with the Herodians. He probably would get Rome, and then he'd be arrested. And that would solve the Pharisees' problem. But if Jesus said, no, you know, we are supposed to pay this tax, that's important, then all the people were following, so the Pharisees thought, would abandon him and say, ah, he can't be from God. Because the whole point is how this is supposed to be God's chosen people in God's chosen place. And we don't want to have this Roman authority and rule. The Messiah will come and overthrow Rome, so they thought. And so it seemed like the perfect trap to the Pharisees, who again didn't go themselves but sent their disciples, really trying to distance themselves from this. But Jesus is unfazed by this. He says, okay, show me the coin for the tax. And they brought him a denarius. Now, again, this is amusing because a denarius is a Roman coin. And on one side has Caesar's face. And on the other side has a picture of Zeus. And a good Jew would know that you're not supposed to have a graven image, whether it be of Caesar, definitely not of a false god. And of course, this definitely should not be in the temple area at all. That's the whole point of the money changers. So you'd go and you'd exchange your denarius that you had for something that had value but didn't have a graven image on it before you enter in the temple. So the fact that they just have this around in the temple is all the more incriminating themselves. How it should have played out would Jesus say, well, show me the coin. Oh, we don't have any of those. We're good Jews, Jesus. But no, he has the coin, and he says, whose likeness, whose inscription is this? Showing off how this coin is in violation of God's law, both in general and particularly with the temple. But they answer rightly. They say, well, it's Caesar's. And he said to them, therefore, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. And when they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. And again, as I was reflecting upon our scripture readings for today, and thinking about where it is that I felt like God wanted me to speak today, it came back to that question of authority. And so I want to direct our attention to the first reading from today. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. Who is Cyrus? Do you know? He's the king of Persia. In other words, he wasn't a king of Israel. He wasn't what you'd expect to be an anointed of God. Because you'd expect somebody from the line of David to be anointed. Or maybe in the northern tribe of Israel when the kingdom split. Just a reminder, so one time everything was united, and then Solomon's son Rehoboam, under him, the kingdom divided. You had the northern kingdom, the northern 10 tribes became the northern kingdom of Israel, and the southern 2 tribes became the southern kingdom of Judah. And in Israel, there wasn't a single king who feared God, not one. And in Judah, it kind of varied. Most of them didn't really truly fear God. Some of them did. And it's the northern kingdom that got taken over by the Assyrians and the southern kingdom that got taken over by Babylon. Okay, so here it is now at the point of Isaiah's proclamation. The southern kingdom has been taken over by Babylon and they are in exile. They're no longer in the promised land. And yet you have here God through the prophet Isaiah saying, my anointed, Cyrus, the king of Persia, he will do what I desire him to do. To subdue the nations before him and loose the belts of the kings. To open doors before him that gates may not be closed. I will go before you and level the exalted places. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hoards in secret places, that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by name. So in all this, he's saying, Cyrus, you're my anointed, and I am paving the way for you. You will have practically no opposition. You will succeed, and your empire will grow. And he says, for the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I call you by your name. I name you, though you do not know me. So not only is this a foreign ruler, but this foreign ruler doesn't even know God. And yet God says, you I'm going to entrust authority. You I'm going to give rule and dominion. He says, I am the Lord and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is no other. And then God says, I form light and I create darkness. I make well-being and I create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. And the point that I'm trying to emphasize today, the point that I reflected upon, is that sometimes I think, at least for myself, I wrestle with those in authority. I wrestle with whatever the process is. I wrestle as I look across the world in general about the way things go. There's times where in our democratic country where I vote one way and it goes my way and I'm like, yes, awesome, it went the way I wanted, and it goes another way and I'm distraught. And there's nothing wrong with participating in the democratic process. Please don't hear me wrong. Please do that. The point I'm trying to make is that politics, as I said before, is in many ways, among other things, a competition of authority. You have these people who say, well, these are the things that really matter, and so we need to uphold these things. And other people say, well, these are the things that really matter, and we need to uphold those things. And across the world, you have competition. Who has the right to land? Who has the right to live in the way they desire? And the point, mostly, among other things that I'm trying to make, trying to emphasize, that I hope you're hearing, is the temptation for all of us is to not fear, love, and trust in God above all things with regard to authority, whether it's in our own country or what's going on across the world. We look at things and we are tempted to say, God, where can you be? Because clearly you're not there. Or clearly you're not here. And our disposition ought to be one of trusting and knowing God is in control, even when it doesn't look that way. Again, as I mentioned before, you had the kingdom of Israel, where there wasn't a single king who feared God. Did that mean God was not the one in supreme authority? No. Because it's God who has complete authority over his creation. And it's God who, like Cyrus of old, and even true to this day, no one is in authority without God allowing it to happen. But we struggle. We struggle in our sin to really see and trust in God. And that's the main thing I'm trying to really emphasize today, is how common it is for people to fail to trust in God as we ought to, especially with regard to politics. And that's my encouragement to all of you today, to be honest with yourself and say, okay, how do I feel about things? Do I really trust in God above all things, that he is in complete control, that he is the authority? Or do I look to myself as the authority? Do I look to others as the authority? And the other thing I want to remind you of today, though, relates to all this. As Jesus said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar and to God the things that are God. I began this service by sharing with you how I was reminded the importance of recognizing that I am a child of God. Because that baptismal identity, having been claimed by God in the waters of baptism, shapes the entirety of my life in profound ways. And as I remember that, as I remember that I belong to God, it helps me in times of trial. It helps me in those times where I look out and say, all right, God, I'm not sure how it is that you are here, but you promised that you are. And so I will follow you. It helps in those times where we encounter the struggles of a broken world in rebellion against its creator. And we are called to trust in the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. So those are the things I want you to reflect today. And that is the message I feel God has given me to share to you this day, is remember who you belong to. Remember that God has all things. And while it might not always look to it in our eyes like that's the case, that is the truth. And in the end of all things will be set right, for God has promised it. At this time, we're going to collect our tithes and our offerings. I remind you, there's a book in your pew that you can sign to let us keep track of attendance that's appreciated.
Yeah. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus.
Please rise. Today we will be expressing our faith using the explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified, and kept me. In the same way, He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, He daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, He will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. And with the prayers of the day today, in conjunction with Pastor Josh's message, I think there's some foreign leadership in government to especially keep in our prayers. As some of you know, the Guatemala mission team was scheduled to go to Guatemala several weeks ago and was not able to go. The violence isn't so strong in Guatemala right now, but essentially the farmers and folks out in the countryside worked together to elect a good leader, to our knowledge. And the foothold in the Guatemalan government, who is corrupt, said, no, we don't want that. So tens of thousands of people from the countryside started blocking highways and protesting and saying, no, we want a good leader. This could be a paradigm shift in Latin America. We're praying for that, and we do pray that the Guatemala mission team can return in January. So we'll pray for Nils, our liaison, and Estrus, the local pastor there in La Fragua. We'll pray also for the violence in the Middle East and our local governments as well. Please join me in praying. Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us that we are yours and that you really are in control. Thank you for Pastor Josh's message that reminds us of that. We pray especially for the country of Guatemala this morning. May the good leadership that people are trying to elect take hold and start to erase some of the corruptness, not only in Guatemala, but also in Latin America. We pray for the local families in La Fragua who have been reached through St. Mark's ministry and missions of others. We pray for Nils and his safety, and Estrus and his family and their safety as he brings the word to La Fragua and other places in Guatemala. Please allow the mission team entry into Guatemala in January so that they can continue to not only serve the physical needs of people there through building homes, but also bring the word through VBS and other fun activities and preaching that we're able to do with the help of Nils and Estrus and our team there in Guatemala. We pray for the Middle East, in particular, the strong conflict between Palestine, Gaza, Israel, probably some input from Iran as well. This war has been going on since the beginning of time, really, in some ways, but we can identify Ishmael and Isaac as the head of this war. It's been going on for that long. We pray for peace there, for leadership, and for your word to reach those in most desperate need of it. Please protect those pastors in that area and their families and anybody left who is stuck in Israel in that area who are trying to get home. And we pray for their families abroad who are waiting for safe travel for those families. Lord, we pray for our local government. We pray for the democratic process and our ability to elect leaders who represent Christian values and movement forward in our society. And Lord, when we see the corruptness there, help us not to focus on that, but to focus on your justice and your mercy through your word and what it really means to truly be citizens of heaven and not just citizens of earth. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name, and we pray as you've taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now I'd like to invite Pastor Josh to come and speak the words of institution for us.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper. And when he given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." You may be seated. At this time, I invite those forward who will be helping out with communion, and I invite you all to reflect on the questions on the screen as you prepare to receive the Lord's Supper today.
Reckless. was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all. Been so, so kind to me, and all the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God always chases me down by still I'm found, leads the 99. Couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it.
Gift of love in all.
all other ground is sinking sand.
And now may this true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. Receive the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen.
Prince of darkness, we will tremble not for him.
You may be seated. Well, thank you again for joining us in worship. At this time, if there's any kids who are looking to go to Sunday school, you can go to the back and meet with DCE Lauren Bates there. Otherwise, I have a couple more announcements to share. One is that the adult class that I'll be teaching, instead of meeting here, we'll be meeting in the gym, but at 11 o'clock, so you got like 20 minutes to get there. So don't like rush there. It'll be fine. This is the last Sunday where if you were wanting to support the school through the TJ's pizza and the cookie dough sales, there's a sign up in the back that you can find. I think more information in the bulletin. Starting next week, there's a communion training for students grades 6, 7, or 8 who have not yet been trained for taking the Lord's Supper. And so if you want to participate in that, that starts next week. There's more information in the bulletin. Veterans Day, we invite you to join us for a Veterans Day celebration. I'd like to honor all who served our country on Wednesday, November 8th. Again, more information in the bulletin. And lastly, on All Saints Day, which is November 5th, is when we'll be observing it. That's a Sunday. We're going to have a special prayer during the worship service honoring and thanking God for our loved ones who passed away since last year, All Saints Day, which was on November 1st of last year. So if you'd like your loved one who died since then to be honored, sorry, I'm getting things directed to me. Okay, I will mention one more announcement after that one. Anyway, so if you would like to, there's more information in the bulletin on where to send that. Lastly, Denise, you have something about ladies' Bible study? Okay, ladies' Bible study with Denise is meeting in room 104, again at 11 o'clock for the start. All right, that is all. If you need to know anything else, it's in the bulletin, I assure you. But thank you for joining us. Go in peace and serve the Lord.